Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Pure Hoops podcast is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Pure Hoops podcast most definitely does reflect the views of our management. Here's three-time NBA champ BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman.
The boys are back. February 27th, we record. Eric Newman in a chilly, breezy New York. BJ Armstrong, as always, smiling in paradise. My man, I cannot believe we are staring March in the face. And what this month has proven, all things set aside, whether it's All-Star, big performances, Zion back, celebrating the life of Kobe Bryant, like, there's no downtime. There's no lull. We've got things happening. That old narrative about, you know, the NBA is on snooze until the playoffs after the holidays is the furthest thing from the truth. So how much are you loving the league right now, and how's everything out west?
Well, I'm loving the league right now because now you're starting to see the teams separate themselves. From meaningful games to teams now making a decision to prepare for the offseason, prepare for the draft, to start playing their younger players to develop. So when you go and you watch the Lakers and you watch the Clippers and you're beginning to see these teams gear up and say, it's time to take it to the next level and play. So the NBA right now is great. And I had a chance to watch the Celtics when they were in town. And you're starting to see the first quarter of playoff basketball, Eric. It's very exciting right now.
Speaking of playoff basketball, and before we get to the excitement around the Celtics, which I say as a neutral party with a straight game face on my face, not with a big shit-eating.
I see that big smirk on your face right now.
But BJ, the Milwaukee Bucks are quietly approaching historic territory with the pace that they are on. And the big question is, everybody respects, well, not everybody, but people like you and I and stars in the league and coaches like Budenholzer and especially an organization like the Bucks, they respect what they could be part of in terms of a 70-win season. But the ultimate goal, obviously, is winning a championship and making sure that Giannis is there long-term. So if you're the Bucks, first of all, how are you looking at this historic run? But when do they get to the point where they're going to have to choose between certain playoff health and going after 70?
You know, Eric, as I watch this Milwaukee team, you know, this is a new team from a year ago. This is a new group. This isn't the core or the two main players are still there, Middleton and Giannis. But, you know, when you lose key components like the Brogdon kid, and you're starting to lose players here due to injury and what have you, this is still a new team. And I think it's important for this team to continue to win as many games as they can. I think it's very important for them to figure out how they're going to have to win games when they don't play well. The one thing about the Milwaukee Bucks that's always stood out to me is Giannis has always played the game as a true superstar, beginning with last year. A true superstar, and how I define it, is a superstar doesn't take or doesn't have nights off. They don't take a night off. They don't have bad games. They have to figure out how to impact the game, whether they shoot well or not. Giannis can do that. Giannis has figured out how to impact the game, whether he plays exceptional or whether he plays good, but he's that type of player. He's a true superstar. Now, in the playoffs, if he doesn't have an exceptional game, which for him during the regular season is more times than not, can they still win? That, to me, is the million-dollar question with Milwaukee. Because we've only seen one or perhaps two, a couple players in the NBA that can slow him down just a little bit. One of them now is playing in the Western Conference, Kawhi Leonard. All the other players, I don't think can consistently in a seven-game series slow him down to beat them in a seven-game series, with the exception of Kawhi Leonard. That's how good he is. And I think it's important for this team to win as many games as they can, to establish that they are a dominant team, and they have a superstar who plays. When you're young, you want to continue to play to give no one any confidence against you. So I think it's the smart move for them to continue to play this all the way through and play it, you know, and let it go as far as they can, because this is a team that doesn't have a lot of room for error. You know, they're not going to just physically overwhelm you, you know, the way they play or their style of playing, with the exception of Giannis. But Giannis is such a unique player, a unique talent. He definitely has given them a huge advantage, which I think they all benefit from. And so they're going to continue to play that way.
It's an interesting dilemma in terms of shutting it down or going for it. The 15-16 Warriors, I mean, they went for it. They got 73 wins. We all know how that ended, losing in Game 7 of the Finals, a few possessions away. Going for 73, however, was not what cost them that title. We all know what did between Draymond's suspension and the brilliance of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. So this is going to be really interesting. And to your point about Giannis, he has been, you know, incredible this season. He's arguably the MVP of the league. Chris Middleton has put together a terrific season as well. They're getting really good performances from new role guys like Dante DiVincenzo, like Robin Lopez pairing with his brother. So they are clearly the team to beat in the East. They're arguably the finals favorite. It's just going to be really interesting to see if they try to go after the record. And as we get closer to that, you know, we'll go through the monotonous exercise of breaking down the schedule and looking at games where, oh, well, maybe they can get past Charlotte and give Giannis the night off, or maybe they can get past Atlanta, but certainly not playoff teams and, of course, a ton of teams out there in the Western Conference. So speaking of other playoff teams, the Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum on an absolute tear. The Celtics come out of the All-Star break on the road, West Coast, win in Minnesota, lose a ridiculous game in L.A. that I don't even want to get started on, and then win back-to-back nights, Portland and Utah. Tatum, over the last five games, is 35 a game. Are we seeing Jason Tatum officially arrive at the next level right now?
Well, you're seeing Jason Tatum emerge from being a really good player into a superstar player. You know, after watching him over the last five or six games or so, I have to put him in a category as a superstar. When I saw him out here in Los Angeles playing versus the Lakers, he was clearly the best player on the floor. I'll say that again. He was clearly the best player on the floor that night. He wasn't the best player in the first quarter or the first half. He was the best player in the entire game against the LA Lakers. And they have two really good players.
LeBron,
and Jason Tatum.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis on the floor. Tatum's the best.
Tatum was clearly the best player on the floor. And now he's putting this together. He's doing this game after game after game. You know, he had a great game and, you know, it was a good game for the month of February, a good game in the month of February. Now he's putting this together back to back to back to back. So now when I watch him, I'm going to call a spade a spade. You know, he is a superstar player and he must be evaluated as such. Now I'm expecting him to have an impact on the game every single night, because superstars don't take nights off in this league. Jason Tatum is playing phenomenal basketball right now. He's playing phenomenal, phenomenal basketball. And the great thing about him is they're winning. You know, he's playing phenomenal basketball, and it's translating to the bottom line, which is it's having an impact on winning basketball games. So when I see a great player find a way to implement his individual skill into the framework of the team, I go, this guy has got something figured out. He's kind of cracked the code now. Now it's time for him to move into the next phase of saying, can he do this for an entire season and the playoffs? Because now you're playing at an MVP-type level. But I'm giving this young man credit. He is playing exceptional basketball. And this is minus Kemba Walker, I might add.
Yep.
He's doing this minus an all-star player. So he's picked up his game, taken his game to another level, and they're continuing not only to compete, but figure out how to win games during this stretch. And, you know, Jason Tatum is the reason why. And he's, you know, when you watch Jaylen Brown and you're watching Gordon Hayward and you're watching their team, they're playing with confidence. And that confidence is coming down from how Jason Tatum is playing. And I've been amazed at watching him, and I love watching young people reach their potential. And it's been great to watch. And as a fan of the game, you know, I must applaud him when you see something like this, because it's a phenomenal jump he's made over the last month or so.
They sit at 41-17. They're one behind the Raptors in the loss column. Obviously, home court advantage in that 2-3 spot is going to be huge come playoff time. The most impressive thing to me about Tatum, who turns 22 next week, that's right, he's not even 22 yet, is all he cared about after that Laker game and shining on that national stage was, did we win or not? And all he wanted was the win. He didn't want the accolades for anything else, and that includes putting 40 on a Laker team led by LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And you said it best, BJ, the other guys on the Celtics, they are thriving off of this energy. Jaylen Brown is playing the perfect complimentary wing, still getting 20 points per game, and Gordon Hayward is just chipping in wherever necessary, and Marcus Smart, with Kemba out, has been very strong on both ends as well. So this has been an incredible emergence to see. And you know, a couple of statistical notes, and we didn't get a chance to dig in on this because of scheduling, but how about that game against the Clippers right before All-Star when he scores 39 at home?
I mean, that was another moment.
The Garden was just roaring. And to do that against the Clippers and then come out of, you know, go to All-Star, experience your first All-Star, and then come out of the gates with 28-11, 41 on national TV, 36 in Portland, and then 33-11 on national TV against Utah. And Donovan Mitchell was going right at him. Right at the Celtics early in the game, because he wanted to make a statement, and there was a great back and forth there at one point in the second quarter where they were just trading blows. But we are seeing the emergence of a very special and gifted talent right now whose game and skill set works perfectly with today's NBA. And
well, yeah,
and I just want to say, you talk about being patient, and you have all these Danny Ainge critics out there, and I'm just stating fact right now. This is not Celtic allegiance or anything like that. Like, Danny Ainge knew what he was doing with turning those draft picks in the Pierce KG deal into these young talents, and knowing that you need talented, versatile wings along with strong ball handlers to win in this new NBA. And we are seeing it right now, starting with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And it's fantastic to see. I cut you off. I'm sorry. Well,
yeah, no. That position is one of the most coveted positions in all of basketball. You can't have enough of those wing players because of this positionless basketball that we now are witnessing in this new modern NBA era. So give Danny Ainge and his staff credit for understanding what's next on the horizon as we continue to play and watch the game and critique the game. Without question, the game is a positionless game, and you can't have enough Jaylen Browns on your team. You can't have enough Jason Tatums on your team. And those guys are athletic. They know how to play. They have a certain style about them. But, you know, when you watch Jason Tatum play, two words always come to mind as I've been watching him on this last four or five games. He plays the game with a certain style and sophistication that you don't really see from a young player. He has style and he has sophistication to his game, like his footwork, the way he scores. He scores in transition. He scores in half court. He's got a little post-up game. He's got a little mid-range game. He's got a step back. You know, he shoots, makes tough shots. And then he has size and length. And he's doing this against the best players in the league, I might add, right? I mean, he scored, what, 38, 39 on the Clippers, right? And, you know, look, anyone's capable of having a good game. These guys are all NBA players. But this guy's taking on the very best players. And it's the style and sophistication in which he's doing it that you're going, wow. I mean, he's doing this against LeBron James. He's doing this against Anthony Davis. He's doing this against Kawhi Leonard. He's doing this against Donovan Mitchell. I mean, these are all-star players he's doing this against. So I give him credit because he's, what, 22?
Almost 22.
He's almost 22. So when you see a young player that's – his game is really – the way he plays and the way he scores and the things he's able to do, and he's playing with other all-stars on his team. So, I mean, give this young man a lot of credit just because it's very difficult what he's doing. And but more importantly, he's helping and he's finding a way to win basketball games. And we know how tough it is to win in this league.
Yeah, and BJ, one more thing on Tatum. The patience he's showing out there, like at the beginning of the year, he was really trying to make the changes that were discussed that he needed to that were discussed in the offseason that he needed to make, which was stop dancing with it at 18 feet. Don't settle for fadeaway jumpers. You know, he's a huge Kobe Bryant fan and has studied him and had worked with him. And you were seeing a lot of those Kobe moves, but now he's taking the improvements in his craft and he's doing it so much more efficiently. So he's attacking the basket more. He's living in the paint more. But instead of taking a long two, he's backing you back out to the three-point line right now. And the decision-making out there is just – it's better. And his percentages are up. I believe he has shot 60% while scoring 25-plus points three times this season. I know Mike will check on that for us, but I read that this morning. And, BJ, I don't know if you noticed this. When they run screen and roll with him and he gets the switch, he's either dragging that big outside who can't get all the way out there with him, or he's driving the ball down the lane. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's happened at least, you know, six or eight times the last few nights. Daniel Theis or Enes Kanter, who is ever in the game, will then seal off the player that is trying to help on the Tatum drive, and he's getting these just clear lines to the basket after the pick and roll happens. I don't know if you've noticed this at all, but he's creating just so many incredible opportunities because he's being patient, and it's remarkable for a guy that is about to turn 22. So, yeah, 60% and 35-plus points in three of his games since the All-Star break. That is remarkable stuff, and you hit it on the head with the wing position. They've got talent, they've got depth there, but a team that is really going to suffer right now without talent and depth at the wing position are the Philadelphia 76ers, who are now down Ben Simmons with a bad back, and on Wednesday, Joel Embiid injured his shoulder. This process, my friend, is not going as planned. The Sixers were supposed to be a big-time competitor this year. I never want to root for injuries, but I can't stand Sixers fans and all this false confidence and nonsense. So my question is for you to start. If the Sixers need to make a move and build around one of these guys moving forward, who's your guy, Embiid or Simmons?
Well, that's a major question. If I were building... If I had to choose, right, I would choose Ben Simmons. And the reason I would choose Ben Simmons is because of the style of play that we play the game today. The game is, we don't play the game today from the inside out. The game is clearly played from the outside in. We just said on the last segment here about you can't have enough of these wing players. Ben Simmons is a terrific wing player. He's one of those guys. He can penetrate, he can pass, he can guard multiple positions. And the way the game is currently played, I would build around Ben Simmons if I had to choose. I would prefer to have both because you don't replace a talent like Joel Embiid, right?
Couldn't agree more. Let me just say I would try to build around both of them. Let me just say that.
No question. You have to let this play out. Now, you know, I don't know if you remember some time ago, I remember Phil Jackson and we were talking about, you know, whose team is it, right? You know, is it Kobe's team or is it Shaq's team? And then Phil Jackson said, you know what? I'm going to let these kids figure out how to play with one another in the sandbox. They have to figure it out. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are going to have to figure this out because how many times do we look back on something and we say coulda, woulda, shoulda?
Yep.
You don't find two exceptional talent. These guys are exceptionally talented players, okay? Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. We should not be talking about which one should we prefer. I'm going to turn the question around and say, who is the right person to sit these young men down and say, we have an enormous opportunity in front of us. And what great players do when they want to be successful is, you know what they do, Eric? They figure it out. Okay. And I'm challenging those two to figure this out because I'm not going to look back and start trying to divide these two and telling them, well, it's my team. No, it's my team. Okay. I get it. I get being young, I understand when you have insecurities and you're trying to figure out who you are. But let me tell you, my friend, how many times have I heard over the years, I wish we would have figured this out? Because you may never play with another Joel Embiid again, and you may never play with another Ben Simmons again, especially in their youth, in their prime, where they have the capability to get the job done.
For sure.
So
BJ,
need to figure it out.
Winning in this league, as you've lived, is not easy. And I've been back and forth just, you know, I don't live on Twitter. I use it as a news feed, but I've been back and forth with a couple of people. And I was composing something this morning in response to a Sixers fan. And, you know, since 2003, So Kobe and Shaq, so since the Spurs won it in 03 and were towards the end of Kobe and Shaq, I don't remember why I started it that year, but even going back to the year 2000, 20 years, only 9 different franchises have won a title. Like, it is not easy getting to the mountaintop. And to your point, having two talents, this unique, this special, this young, this capable, you've got to figure out how to make it work. And, you know, I'm going to continue to run with our self-promotion joke of you and I getting into a front office one day, even though I'm more serious than you are about it. But like I watched the Sixers, and I know we could figure that out. And you made a great point talking about the game today is one outside in. But I think because of that, and I think because of the lack of size and teams trying to spread out all the time, Philly can play bully ball with Embiid. Philly can play inside out with the right personnel around them. And I think where they really messed up this offseason was they were so keen on bringing in Al Horford and using that against the Celtics, and him, you know, they viewed him as a key to stopping Giannis, which I understand, but there's such a deficit with perimeter depth, and the money that's being paid Al Horford, the money that's being paid Tobias Harris, Embiid is on a max deal. He's got 3 more years on it. Simmons signed a 5-year extension last summer. Simmons is 23. Embiid is 25. Like, I wonder how they view their window because there's only going to be so much of a window with the team as currently constructed right now. And if they don't get it done right now, they're going to have to offload some other deals, bring in other talent around them. I really do like Josh Richardson, but this team was not constructed the right way, in my opinion. So, you know, Simmons and Embiid are still young. They're still evolving as players and as people. How long do you think they can be patient, knowing that the organization still has work to do with the quote-unquote process?
Well, anything that's worthwhile is going to be tough. So I'm not discouraged by what I see right now, because there are a lot of good players, Eric, in the NBA, but there are less elite players. Okay? There are a lot of good players in the NBA, but there aren't a lot of elite players. And I think you and I and the rest of the basketball world will agree that those two young men that we're talking about, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, are elite talents. They're not consistently elite players where they're playing at an elite level every night. But no doubt they both have the ability to be dominant players in this league on a nightly basis. I'm challenging those young men to all the Philly faithful out there and the people in Philadelphia. And yes, they are tough fans. Yes, they, you know, have their own Philly, but that doesn't bother me, right? Because I've always had a respectful relationship with the Philadelphia fans, right? They may say whatever they say during the game, but after the game, it's always been with respect. Just like I found New York fans and so forth. I'm challenging those two young men for the love of the game itself, for the love of basketball, to figure this out. Because those young men both should be pursuing championships year in and year out with that type of talent.
Agree.
That's just being truthful to the game. All right. That's, you know, when you love something, right, the way that I grew up loving the game, when you love something, you got to trust it. To trust something, then you got to believe in it. Right now, these young men are going through this process, Eric, and I'm not giving up on them too, because you just don't see this type of talent. And I don't want to, it's just not working out. For whatever reason, they got to figure it out. You know, I've been in enough games in my career, and it's easy for me to only talk about the good times, the times you win and the times you did this. But, Eric, this wasn't all roses. There were a lot of down moments in my career and everyone else's career. And let this be an opportunity for those young men to fight through this, to figure it out, because they are exceptionally talented young men and they are elite players, and they owe the game that. They owe the game of basketball to figure this out.
Well said. Well said. Philadelphia fans, as much as I take shots at them, they are loyal. And they want a winner. And as talented as the Sixers are, and as much attention as they've gotten, BJ, they've been in one conference final and one final since in the last 20 years, and that was in 2001. The last 2 years, they won a playoff series in the first round, got knocked out in two very tough series in the second round to Boston in 18, and of course last year in Game 7 to Toronto in 19. So, you know, sometimes teams have to take a step back to take two steps forward. But if it's the Celtics or the Raptors who get Philly in the first round of the playoffs, it's going to be a street fight. And it's going to be a very tough, long series. So as much as I love the Celtics-Sixers rivalry, and as much as I would love to see the Celtics end the Sixers season, that will be a very stressful series. And if it's stressful for me, my friend, it's going to be stressful for you. So a lot to look out for. And at the end of the day, like, I want to see Ben Simmons on the floor. I want to see Embiid on the floor. So hopefully these guys are back soon. And, you know, the way the standings are shaping out, unless there's a total free fall and someone below them gets really hot, the worst they're going to be is the sixth seed. So we will keep an eye on that in the East. pivoting out to the West. The Joker, Nikola Jokic, averaged 15 points a game to start the season, October, November. Only had six double-doubles. There was talk about his conditioning. You talked about it. A lot of other people out there were talking about it. Now he's averaging nearly 21 a game, which would be a career high. His 35 double-doubles. What kind of threat do you look at the Nuggets right now that they could be to break up that dream battle for L.A. Western Conference Final? And let me add, the Nuggets are at the Clippers Friday night to take you into the weekend.
Well, when you look at this Denver team, you're looking at a team like, you know, that really played very well last year. You look at the age and the youth of your team, and you're very excited. Like everyone, I see the talent that the Joker has, right? I see the talent of how he plays the game. He plays the game the right way. He is, his ability to pass the ball, shoot the ball, score in the post, score from the perimeter. I mean, he's just an exceptional talent. I was just really disappointed in how he prepared himself for the upcoming season, because every season is different. And when you have an opportunity to win, you can't lose that opportunity, because you never know when it's coming back, right? So I was just disappointed. Am I surprised that he's playing better and what you said? No, because this isn't a basketball issue. This is just a conditioning issue. You can be the greatest player, but you still have to be in condition to do it. Now that he is in condition and you can see how he's playing and the team is playing, they're playing, you know, at a much higher rate than they were at the beginning of the season. Now it comes to, okay, do they have the discipline to carry it all the way through? And I like their team. I like what I see. They've had some injuries. Jamal Murray has been out. And he's going to be a big part of their team. I see some flaws with their team, but I like overall what they're doing, and I'm happy that he is in the type of condition he needs to be in, because when you aren't in condition, you expose yourself to other things. And the biggest one is injury itself. And no one, I can't stand it when a player gets hurt, right? I don't care. I never want to see a player get hurt. So yes, you can have a bad game. Yes, things may not work out in a situation. Maybe it's a bad fit. But under no circumstances, especially as a professional athlete, should you not be in condition. And that was just, you know, it was disappointing to see, because he's such a great player. He's a great talent. From everything I've heard, he's a great kid. And this kid has an opportunity to win a championship, right? He has an opportunity, and those opportunities don't come by year in and year out. And I think you learn that as you play in this league, and you never want to blow that.
21 points. He's a hair under 21 points, 10 rebounds, almost 7 assists a game. He's obviously played his way into shape. Right now they sit right in between the Lakers and the Clippers in the 2 spot in the West. And it would be really interesting, because we know how the Clippers are playing this now. The Clippers, yeah, they would love home court in as many rounds as possible, but we know how Doc is playing this. They're not chasing a win total or a seed. He's trying to get that team as healthy as possible and in the best rhythm as possible to go get a championship, whoever has home court. But a game 7 in Denver in the second round that could present itself if the Nuggets and the Clippers go at it and play a long series, that'll put Denver right back where they were last year when they lost a heartbreaking game 7 at home to Portland. So this could be a really interesting development come May. And the other thing about Denver, BJ, is they quietly made some tweaks at the deadline. Yep. Where Malik Beasley was traded to Minnesota, where he's shown what he's made of, and he'll thrive in this league as a two-way wing player, as a starter. That opens up minutes for the development of Michael Porter Jr. That gives more minutes for Jeremy Grant to contribute, who's been a versatile asset for them. But they also brought in a little bit more depth in the backcourt with Jordan McRae from Washington, and a little bit more muscle in the frontcourt with Noah Vonleh from Minnesota, who in my opinion, did a great job basically saving his career last year with the work that he put in with the Knicks and then got paid in the offseason a little bit by Minnesota. But Denver's roster is deep. It's versatile. It's got size. It's got experience. And, of course, it's got the talent at the top, starting with the Joker and Jamal Murray. So I'm not counting Denver out of any conversations, not to say that we have, but I think people have been so obsessed with this battle for L.A. thing, myself included, that Denver's for real. And whoever gets them in the postseason is going to have their hands full. So I think we've got some big-time basketball ahead with the Nuggets. Pivoting. It's my big word today, BJ, pivoting. I need to get back in the gym, work on some
You're just working on the fundamentals. Yeah, I know
how much you like a right-wing catch with your back to the basket and then really reverse pivot on somebody with a strong rip-through. The Pelicans are back in the spotlight. Zion, after 13 games, has been incredible. It's been a small sample size. Everyone is now hoping for Pelicans-Lakers in the first round. Give us your assessment on what you've seen so far from Zion Williamson.
Well, you know, clearly Zion is a very unique player that I can't recall since I've been part of the NBA to see a player with this kind of unique physical ability that you're seeing, right? I mean, he is as explosive of an athlete that we've seen at this size. And I'm not talking about his first jump. I'm talking about his ability to repeat his second, third, fourth jump. It's just incredible. I mean,
You mean the human pogo stick?
Yeah, I mean, he's jumping 40 on the first jump. And then maybe, 37 on the second. This guy's doing 40, 40, 41. I mean, he can repeat like I haven't seen a player of this size. So I'm just amazed at what I see him doing. And I might add, which is to me even more impressive, this is minus training camp.
Yep.
So he's doing this minus training camp, surgery and all. So I can't it just blows my mind to think he will be even better than what we're seeing right now once he can get in the proper condition that he needs to be in to be able to play the game. And what he's doing now is incredible. So now that just makes me wonder as I'm watching him play, like, how much better could this guy really be? He's made an impact. Yeah, he's made an impact on the game for sure about it. Physically, I watch him and I just find myself watching him move his body. I mean, he can move like no one I've seen that size. And he can be even better.
Sorry, they sit 3 games back of Memphis for the 8 seed. They're in a 4-way tie in the loss column with the Spurs, the Kings, and Portland. So every Pelicans game from here on out is going to be must watch. In his he's played 13 games, BJ. His last 5 games from February 11th through the game the other night against the Lakers, 31 on 10 of 17 from the floor and 11 of 14 at the line, 32 on 11 of 19 from the floor, 10 of 13 at the line, 25 on 10 of 17 from the floor, struggled from the line, 5 of 10, 28 on 13 of 20 from the floor, struggled again at the line, 1 of 6, and then 29, 8 of 18, and then he comes back and he shoots 13 of 19 at the free throw line, which has got to help his confidence. So it's the presence, it's the athletic ability, it's the numbers. I mean, double-digit field goal makes, that many games in a row after just, as you said, not having training camp. I mean, he started playing games on January 22nd. He missed 44 games and training camp. It is remarkable. It's going to be a really interesting final stretch there in the West. BJ, let me ask you, with all of those teams bunched up, knowing what Morant and Jaren Jackson and how Memphis has played, knowing the mission that Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum will be on and Carmelo Anthony will be on down the stretch to get to the playoffs, knowing what New Orleans is doing with Zion, who do you like getting that 8 spot?
Well, from an experience standpoint, I like the Portland Trailblazers. I think they have the experience to get there. But I have to take into account, because I haven't seen it yet, this kid, Zion, he's a problem. I mean, he is a problem because, one, he continues to get better and better every single game. And physically speaking, he can overwhelm most, right? I mean, I saw him do things in the previous game or so against Anthony Davis that I was like, okay, now this kid, he's not doing it, you know, just against, you know, another player in the NBA. He's doing it versus a very elite player in the NBA. And he's doing things now that I say, you know what, you have to game plan for this kid. You have to game plan for him because he will physically overwhelm you. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies, as I watched them, I mean, no one had them playing this deep into the season, playing meaningful games.
No.
So I applaud the Memphis Grizzlies for the season they've had, right? This kid, Ja Morant, and I want to make sure we say that this kid, Ja Morant, has been sensational all year long, right? I mean, Zion is – he's captured our imagination because, you know, look, physically he's just he's an incredible physical talent. But this kid, Ja Morant, okay, he's been doing this all season, and he is must-see TV. So I don't want to – I want to make sure that we recognize his greatness and what he's been able to do this year. And they are currently in that eighth spot. So – but if you say, at the end, I think experience probably wins out. I think somehow Dame and company will figure it out, Carmelo and CJ McCullough, because they have the experience, right? That they are an experienced group as they're going to go as we go farther and farther into the season. And but I would not be surprised if, you know, New Orleans figured out how to get there. And certainly I'm rooting for the Memphis Grizzlies, right? I'm rooting for Ja Morant, because as a former guard myself, and watching a point guard, which I feel is the hardest position to come into this league and transition, to watch what he's been able to do and play the game at this elite level and make an impact on winning, because none of us, myself included, had them picked to make the playoffs. And somehow this kid has come there. He's turned around the culture. We talk about how to players who are going to make an impact and players who are going to do well. He did it. And so I'm rooting for them because they've had a great season, and it's been tough for them the last couple of games as the other teams have picked up their play, and they got to figure it out, because no one's going to feel sorry for you in this league.
It's going to be an exciting stretch run. The other thing that you forgot to mention in terms of scouting the Pelicans, we talked about this a little bit in the anticipation of Zion returning. You've got a game plan for Zion and Brandon Ingram now coming at you in the front court. And Lonzo Ball has had an improved year. Derek Favors is back in the lineup in the middle. The guy that I'm really excited to see develop alongside Ingram and Williamson in the future is Jackson Hayes, the rookie big from Texas. But Holiday, Ingram, Zion, Ball, Favors with Hart and Redick and Okafor, like... This is a team that is going to be dangerous down the stretch. So a lot of fun keeping an eye on the Western Conference, the bottom of the playoff race. Memphis, as you said, has had a terrific season without having the expectations of the postseason put upon them. So we know a bright future there as well for Ja and Jaren Jackson and the rest of that club. So great show today, my friend. I'm actually headed back out west, so I am going to make a point to see you next week, and we will get our recording set for the Pure Hoops podcast. Special thanks, as always, to our producer extraordinaire, the one and only Mike Lieber. He's up there in the country right now. He's got his great backyard view in the studio. Mike doing a great job putting the show together for us and really helping us grow what we're doing every week. So thank you, Mike. Special thanks to Bruce Bernstein, editor Benjamin Wolfen, the entire Pure Hoops Media team. Be sure to check out the Mike Wise Show each and every Monday. Mike recorded an episode with the one and only Mike Breen the other day that I think is going to be a great listen coming out next week. He had the one and only Howard Beck on last week talking about Kobe Bryant. So Mike Wise continuing to do his thing We've got Full Court Press with John Fanta and Kim Adams talking everything college basketball as we approach March Madness. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Aaron Berlin and Otto Strong. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with the one and only Monica McNutt. And us, BJ and I, the Pure Hoops Podcast. We've got 5 shows a week. Enjoy, listen, share, subscribe, and as always, stay pure.
The Pure Hoops Podcast is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.